Well, it says it is. Okay. So I'm going to start. We're going to talk about Tzidkos Chatzedek Olam Tzaros Ha'emes. So I was thinking of doing it out of the Seder inside, but this is not working, so I'm just going to do it outside. And we're going to start by looking at the order and why we have a big machlokas, a big difference of opinion between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad as to how to do it. So this is actually an interesting case, a rare case, in which Nusach Sfarad is more meticulous in terms of the order of the psukim as opposed to Nusach Ashkenaz. The reason why Nusach Sfarad starts Tzidkos Chatzedek Olam Tzaros Ha'emes and then Tzidkos Chatzedek Ariel, etc., is because that is the order in the psukim at Tehillim. The earliest pasuk is Tzidkos Chatzedek Olam Tzaros Ha'emes. The next pasuk is Tzidkos Chalokim Amarom Asher Sisa Los Ein Elokim Mikamocha. And the third pasuk is Tzidkos Chatzedek Ariel Mishpatecho Tehom Rabah. Okay. Now they're not all in the same capital. The first one is in Kapitel Lamed Vav, the second one, Kapitel Ayin Aleph, and the third one, Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes. But, nevertheless, the order internally in Seder Tehillim goes that way. That's why they're ordered accordingly in Nusach Sfarad. So, that's a very simple and straightforward way. By contrast, Nusach Ashkenaz here is the much more mystical in terms of how the psukim are arranged. So there's several interpretations here. The least mystical is from the Sefer Yikarim. And the Sefer Yikarim is, of course, one of the Rishonim, which was written by the Rabbi Yosef Albo, and it is about the Kari Emunah. And we know that Rabbi Yosef Albo took the 13 principles of the Rambam, and reduced them to three. He said, there are really three shrushim, three roots, and the other 10 are anothim, they're branches. What are the three roots? Metzius Hashem, the existence of Hashem, Torah min Hashemayim, the Torah is given by it from heaven, and Schar V'Onesh, that there's reward and punishment. All the other kind fit into this framework. They are not necessarily their own categories, but some categories of these. So therefore, says the Ikarim, now, because there are three principles, they are the why we have seen these three psukim by Shabbos Mincha. What are they? Tzidkos Chatzedek Olam Tzaros Ha'emes. That's Torah Min HaShamayim. Tzidkos Elokim Amarom Asher Asisa. Gros Elokim Mikamocha. So that has to do with Metzias Hashem. Now that's and the third one, the Kosakar Mishmael Tom Rabbah, those mega schar v'onesh, that corresponds to reward and punishment. Let's explain. And in fact, I made a mistake. According to the Ikarim, neither the order really doesn't work no matter what, and I'll explain that in a moment. But the pasuk which we in the Sakashka say first, the Kosakar Re Kel, that has to do with schar v'onesh. Why? Because it talks about Mishpatecha Tahom Rabbah. Your judgment reaches down into the awesome depths. So therefore, that talks about Hashem's judgment, which leads to reward and punishment. The second pasuk, V'tivkas Cha Elokim Amarom Asher Asisa, that talks about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because it says that Hashem did everything. He created everything in the world. The third pasuk, Tzidkos Chatzedek Olam Tzaros Ha'emes, that talks about Torah Min HaShamayim, Torah coming from heaven. And Torah coming from heaven, of course, refers to the third principle. The thing is that the order of the principles, according to Ikarim, is first the existence of God, which means the first pasuk should be the middle pasuk. The second is Torah from heaven, which is the third pasuk. And the first pasuk, and the last one should be schar v'onesh, which is the last pasuk. Would you say? So really, it should be 2-1-3, according to Hanaf Yosef, or even the Sfarad doesn't work out because it should be according to the Sfarad. It should be 2-3-1. But in any event, it's interesting correspondence that these three psukim are correspond to those three principles. And you could say that they weren't put in the order of the principles because of what Nusach Svar says, because they should be in the order of the psukim as they appear in Tanakh, or because of what we'll see in Nusach Ashkenaz momentarily. Okay? So far, so good. Any questions?
Nope.
Are we okay? Are we there?
Yep.
Okay. So so now I'm going to go through the go back to the Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Nusach Ashkenaz, first of all, we have to understand why we say Tzidkos Tzedek. I mean, the Ikarim is saying because obviously we want to remind ourselves of the Ikari Emunah. And Rabbi Muck, in his World of Prayer, he says that the reason why we say Tzidkoscha is to remind ourselves of the great principles which these three psukim represent as we go into the weekday. Because after Mincha is already as it's getting dark, it's already going towards the next day. After Mincha, in theory, you could dive a mile right away in many days. So therefore, right, as we're going out into the dark, we remind ourselves of the principles to sustain ourselves for the coming week. There's an interesting thing, point which he makes, which I never thought of before, which is a little bit of a tangent, which is that, it's a big tangent, but it's nevertheless, it's important. He says that by Shacharis, we always lay Kriyas HaTorah is after Zamido, after Shemoneh Esrei. By Mincha, Kriyas HaTorah is always before Shemoneh Esrei. Why is that? So he says that because since after Shemoneh Esrei is already in Mincha, is already towards the nighttime, so it's already considered to be as if it's qualified to be night. So therefore, we have to lay before Mincha. So really, Mikra, then we'd like to lay before the Amidah. Really, we'd like to lay after the Amidah, like we do by Shacharis. But we can't do that because that already would be as if we're laying some on the next day. So therefore, the laying has to precede the Amidah. It's an interesting perspective.
I thought it was so that after our naps, we could still make it to Shemoneh Esrei in time.
Sorry?
I thought it was because after we have our Shabbos afternoon nap, we can still make it to Shemoneh Esrei in time by having Kriya first.
I guess that's another, I don't know why you have to say that shot. It's a very good shot. We have to bring that one down. Okay, so now he says, so the Otsar Tzilz brings down that another reason why we say that in order to explain this to Ashkenaz. So first, the Otsar Tzilz sort of brings down from the Matan Moshe. The Matan Moshe says, the reason why we say them in the order we say them is in order that the Shem Hashem should be right before Kaddish. Because obviously Kaddish is Yizkadah v'Yizkadah Shemei Rabbah. They're great names, very magnified. So we want to end, the Mehemah Toshia Hashem. We say Hashem's name, and Mimela. We go right into Yizkadah v'Yizkadah Shemei Rabbah. Okay? Now, but the main reason which is given for saying this Sukkim is that of Eliyahu Rabbah. The Eliyahu Rabbah writes that the reason is based on the Zohar Parshas Truma, which says that Moshe, Yosef, and David all died by Mincha on Shabbos. That's how many people have the minute to say Mizra, David, Hashem, Roi, Lo, Echsar, three times in Shal Shudas, corresponding to the three Roim, the three shepherds of Am Yisrael, Moshe, Yosef, and David, who all died at this time. By the way, according to most understandings, Moshe died on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself, but evidently he was either buried on Shabbos or buried right in Motzei Shabbos. And from this also comes the minhag that many people have not to say good Shabbos on Shabbos afternoon. They don't say because it's a time of shtick, a little bit of time of mourning. Because these three great entities either died or buried around this time. So therefore, they refrain from saying good Shabbos. So he says, these three tzidkoschas come for this tzidduk hadin, to justify and give a reason for their death. The first one comes on the death of Moshe. And why is that? Because Moshe asked many times that he shouldn't die. And Hashem said to him, if you don't die, I make my Torah a lie. Because I said, Ein miyodim atzilut, pasuk nazinu. There is no salvation from God's decree. So therefore, the first one he says, Tidkos chad tzedek li'olam, your tzedek, your justice is eternal justice. And that is the correspondence to death and Moshe. Why? Because it says that Torah chad emes. Since Hashem had to kill Moshe because he couldn't make his Torah into a lie. And if he decreed that Moshe has to die, that's why Moshe has to die. So the first one corresponds to Moshe. The second one corresponds to Yosef, right? And how does it correspond to Yosef? He says, because the Gemara says that Moshe said to, that Yosef said to his brothers, I'm sorry, the reason why Yosef died before his brothers, even though he was a great tzaddik and he was not the oldest, is because he was too arrogant. He was a little bit of a mitzvah of gaiva. So, and the issur of gaiva is very severe, the issur of haughtiness, of pride. And the Gemara says it's as if that a person who loses pride, it's as if they're using the scepter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it says by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ge'us Lavesh, that he is the pride when he makes miracles and wonders like Yom Kippur, etc. So therefore it says, Tzidkoscha Asher Asisa Gedolos Elohim Ein Kamocha. In that which you do great things, God, there's none like you. So therefore, the second pasuk corresponds to Yosef and saying, that nobody else has any godliness in truth except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third has to do with David. Because David, it says in the Medrash that David requested that he shouldn't die on Shabbos. He should die rather on Sunday. And Hashem said, tough luck. Because no kingship can touch another kingship. Meaning, I can't take away from Shlomo's time of reign, even those few hours, for you. So the so therefore he says it says sorry?
No, sorry.
And so and he says that there's a Rashi and Sanhedrin Daf Kof Zayin says mountains allude to kingship. So therefore in this book the last one says Tikos Kehal, right? That your justice is like the mountains of God. So that means your justice concerns the mountains, concerns the kingship, and in this case, the kingship of David HaMelech. Now, the truth is that this order still only makes sense on Pi-Kabbalah. Because we know that chronologically, Yosef came before Moshe. David came last, but Yosef came before Moshe. So therefore, it has only makes sense according to the Spheros. Because according to the Spheros, the sphere of Moshe is Hod, and the sphere is the Netzach, and the sphere of Yosef is Yisod, and the sphere of David HaMelech is Malchus. And Netzach is higher than Yisod, and Yisod is higher than Malchus. So therefore, it makes sense from this perspective to say have the Sukkim in the order in which they were they're put here, because that's the Kabbalistic order of the Spheros. Going back to what we talked about before about Moshe Rabbeinu having died during this time, so the Gemara Menachos adds that makes a cheshbon and says he didn't couldn't have died then, and the Bach answers that he was it, he whatever this means. He was sustained by the Kansei Hashchina until he was buried by Mincha on Shabbos, in order that his neshama should go up at the Eis Ratzon, the time of the ultimate closeness between heaven and earth, which is the time Mincha on Shabbos. Because the neshama doesn't go up on until the body is buried. So I don't know, you know, ask a kasha. How can Kodesh Baruch Hu be Mechal Shabbos in order to bury Moshe Rabbeinu? But I guess it's Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no such issue. In any event, there are a few other reasons given here. Rabbi Jerome writes that the reason why we say the psukim by Mincha and Shabbos is tzidukah din on the wicked who are on Gehenim. We know that Gehenim, there's a medrash who says that on Shabbos, the Malach who's in charge of the spirits makes a decree and says, go out, though you sinners from Gehenim, and you will rest there, you can rest, like I'm so rest. And the Motzei Shabbos, there's a pronouncement which is, go back, you sinners, to Gehenim, because I'm so really finished there, keeping of Shabbos, and therefore you have to go back. So as long as Am Yisrael has a daven, all three fields of Shabbos, the Rishonim don't have to be concerned about going back yet, because Shabbos is still is strongly in effect. And they say, well, the sun hasn't started going down yet. But we daven Mincha, and it's getting to be evening, getting dark, then the Rishonim are afraid that they're going to have to go back to the judgment imminently. And therefore we say tzidukah din in order to justify Hashem's righteousness in putting them back in Canaan. Now this is an interesting point which we should speak about a little bit more. First of all, the famous Rav Dessler, famous Michta Milyo, which is important to mention. Michta Milyo says, he brings down from this Medrash or Zohar, I think it is, it says that when the Rishoyim get their rest on Shabbos, So they get to rest in a mountain full of snow. And that Motzei Shabbos, because obviously it's hot in Canaan, so they want to cool down on Shabbos, so they go to the mountain of snow. And Motzei Shabbos, they try and steal some of the snow to take back with them into Canaan to keep them cold. And they get punished. They either got found out and punished or just found out. I don't remember what it goes on to say there. But obviously they are held accountable for having tried to steal the snow. So the obvious question Rav Dessler asks is, you know, they're in Gehenna. They know the truth. Why are they stealing the snow? Not only that, they should learn from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, right? The first Shabbos they tried to steal the snow, didn't steal the snow, it didn't work. The next Shabbos, why are they trying again to steal the snow? So he says that, that's the nature of Gehenna. It takes a long time in Gehenna to get out of the bad habit. It's not that they're stealing because they want to steal. They're stealing because that is their nature. And even though they have some remorse, which is how they got out of Gehenna in the first place, but it takes time to get rid of that habit of stealing stuff, of taking stuff which doesn't belong to them. So that's why they constantly try and steal the snow. But we have to explain a little bit more on that, because obviously the fire and snow in Gehenna are both metaphors, right? There is no real fire, and there is no snow. But there's a mistake which people make, which is to think that after death, there's no time, or time operates differently than it does in this world. It's not true. The neshama is subject to the same time frames that the body is subject to in this world, at least until long as this world exists, and the neshama is pinned to this world, it exists in these time frames. So therefore, the Shabbos in this world is also Shabbos in the Olam HaSoyoni. So therefore, just like Am Yisrael in this world has a different level of existence on Shabbos, and Shabbos is a higher level of existence, and it's a level of Me'ein Olam Haba, so to the Rishoyim, even in Gehenna, have that experience of Shabbos, which has to do, evidently, because they have this hashpah of kedusha, this influence of holiness upon them, it diminishes their sense of shame. It diminishes their sense of shame because in and of themselves, intrinsically, the bria in its totality becomes holier, including they themselves. So this higher experience of holiness eliminates some of the terrible sense of shame, remorse, and embarrassment, which comprises the fire of Gehenna. But the thing is, the Rasha thinks that he uplifted himself spiritually on Shabbos for real. That it's an internal change. That he actually has completed some part of a sentence because he has this effusion of holiness, which is he perceives erroneously to be intrinsic. And therefore, each Shabbos, he tries to take that with him. But it really wasn't intrinsic. It was extrinsic. So therefore, the feeling of remorse returns completely and fully at the time when Shabbos goes away. What I think what these Midrashim are telling us is that even though there's a holiness which Shabbos has, which goes down to the very depths of the bowels of creation, which is Gehenna, nevertheless, it's extrinsic unless a person has somehow absorbed it in the proper way. And I think this is alluded to by the Chazal, which tells us, "Rishahechim b'erev Shabbos yoichal b'Shabbos." What does it mean? It means that Shabbos does come automatically. But Shabbos, in order to absorb the holiness of Shabbos, you have to work in it. There has to be that work in order to accomplish it. And since the Rishonim didn't work on it in Olam Hazeh, so therefore, again, they don't work on it either because it's not part of their personality. So therefore, yes, they get Kedusha. Anybody can get Kedusha on Shabbos, even though they didn't prepare. But the Kedusha remains extrinsic, and that's why they lose it in Motzei Shabbos. Okay, I'm not sure if that's the pshat at all, but it could be that along those lines. Then there's another pshat, which is that we say Tzidchos Tzedek after Mincha, when we eat Shalashudas. And when we're about to eat Shalashudas. And it says in Masechta Shabbos that anybody who fulfills all three meals on Shabbos is saved from three negative phenomena. Three negative phenomena are the travails of Mashiach, Chevrei Mashiach, the wars of Gog and Magog, and the judgment of Gehenna. So somebody who eats all three seudos, now that's why in Yiddish the seudah shlishis is called shal seudas, right? Because it's not just the third meal, but when one eats the third meal, it creates the unit of the three meals, of which the Gemara says that the quality of having eaten the three meals on Shabbos, that gives you this special salvation from all these negative things. It's a mitzvah to eat each of the meals on Shabbos, but the mitzvah is complete, the unique unit is completed by Shalosh Shudas, and therefore it's called the three meals, not just the third meal, because it completes that unit. So he says, this is Abu Dram, one of the Rishonim, he says, these three travails, which eating Shalosh Shudas saved you from, are alluded to in these psukim. He doesn't explain why, how they're alluded to in these psukim, Mashiach, Gog and Magog, and Gehenna. But let's see. I would assume that obviously the first one obviously would be pertain Mishpatecho Tomra. Sorry. The first one, Tikasa Tegelam, the Sarascha MS, refers to Gog Umagog, because Gog Umagog come to fight against Hashem and Torah. And the second pasuk, Tikasa claim, Amarom Asher Sisa Gedola Sarokim Mikamocha. So the greatness of Hashem comes ultimately manifest with Bias Mashiach. And the last pasuk, Tzidkos Karyam Mishpatecho Tomarba, that refers, of course, to Gehenna, because that's where the judgment comes. Okay? I don't know why the order, why the Abu Dram and the Tzidkos follow this order, Mashiach, Gog and Magog, and Gehenna, it should be the other way around. Gehenna, Gog and Magog, and Mashiach. But in any event, the three pasukim do allude to those three justices, those three ways in which Hashem is just with us. And the Matan Moshe says that since on Shabbos the Torah is given to Am Yisrael, so therefore we say these three psukim, one of which has five words, which correspond to the five books of the Torah. And there's another pasuk, the second pasuk, which has 40 letters. I'm not going to count them, but the Tzikas Kolokim Am Moshe Sisa Kolokim Yikamocha, I assume it has 40 letters. That corresponds to the 40 days Moshe Rabbeinu was at Sinai. And the final pasuk, Tzidkasa Karayekel, Mishpatecho Tom, Rabbah, Domei Matoshi Hashem, has 10 words. 10 words corresponding to the Aseres Adibros. So that is, those are, again, the order, that has nothing to do with the order, but that would be a reason why you would say all three psukim. I think that that is basically all the material which I have to say tonight. Any questions?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, so
Very interesting. Most of this which I said over,
I did not know before tonight. So that's always the advantage of learning Siddur, because we sort of say things our entire lives, and we never really know what or why we're saying it. But you actually to talk about this, Adam and Ron, because it really was a learning experience for me.
What about the why we don't say it on the days when there's happy things?
Oh, yeah. So thank you for reminding me. So Rabbi Monk says, because we're going down into a weekday, so therefore we're getting, you know, we feel morose, so we feel that so we need chizuk. So therefore we say this psukim with all their connotations of chizuk in them. So he says when one goes into a day, when one doesn't say tachnun, so it's going into a little bit of a yontif, so then one doesn't need that kind of chizuk.
Gotcha.
Okay.
One more quick question.
Yeah.
I may have missed this already. What was the makor for the whole thing? Like that. Like, is it a minig or is it in the Gemara? It's in the Rishonim.
It comes from the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon. Of Amram
okay.
Gaon and
you do it.
The earliest, I think. Rav Amram Gaon. Most of our Siddur is not from Chazal. It's from the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon or Sadia Gaon. So
Rav
Amram Gaon is the one who actually he gives our order, because the order which the Ashkenazim have, because the tzedek, et cetera, you know, the tzedek, because the karekel, he gives that order, but he doesn't say it's because of the three roim. He says it's just because Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And B, obviously, he's not makbid on the order which of the psukim, so that obviously was a later decision of...
Right.
But wait. I see here one thing which I didn't see before, that the Shiboli Aleka, based on the psikta of Rav Kahana... another reason. It says here that the three psukim, very interesting. The pasuk of Adam Behema Toshia Hashem, that the emphasis is on Hashem. Because as a second pasuk is going to here, this would be the source for the Sfarad, which is a pretty early source. The Psik the Rav Kahana is really Chazal. It really is the Psik the Rav Kahana itself. And Shibali Leket, if it's not even similarly for the Shibali Leket, that's one of the Rishonim. So he says, the first pasuk, Toshia Hashem, is Hashem. Tidkoska Elokim, Elokim Mikamocha, that's Elokechem. And because Zem Tos Chaymes, that is Emes, right? So Hashem Elokim Emes. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu Yud Yud, which is what we allude to at the end of Kriya Shema when we do Hashem Elokim Emes. So he's claimed to him the order is talking like Sfar. Hashem, for the first pasuk, Elokim, second pasuk, Emes, the third pasuk. So that makes Sfar actually a very early minute as well. So you don't know how to go back to way, way, way back.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Shkoyach.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you very much. This week we'll go back to Avadia. Next, the Thursday of Motzei Shabbos this week.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, good luck. Shavuot Tov.
All right, you too.